Chapter 23. Preparations. A day later, and the Huntress was nowhere to be found. To Kiana's great surprise, she was free to move about the warren as she pleased, Lucky bringing her a new cane the next morning. Beyond the tavern, she didn't find much. Most doors led to private rooms that were locked, though Lucky had shown her where he slept. She didn't blame the other Reds for casting wary looks at her, considering the luxury of her room. Their cave was crammed full of thin sleeping mats placed directly on stone. There looked to be about 100 Reds, most of them taking advantage of a moment's respite to patch their clothes. Lucky wheeled her away quickly. He showed her a small cavern half filled with a pool of green water that appeared to be used for washing, then the opening in the mist where they could go to empty out the buckets they used to relieve themselves. He led her into the pantry, full of supplies stolen from Celestia, then to the largest cave of all, which was bursting with weapons and gear. At this, Lucky wagged his eyebrows. "See," he said, "an army." It was a cold, dark place, and Kiana couldn't quite match his excitement. It was clear she'd only be able to leave if the Huntress allowed it, and that didn't seem likely. The others would attend the gala without being warned, and she'd be stuck, forced to realise over and over again that she was the only Red that looked remotely healthy, which was, all in all, quite ironic.
"I'd never get away with this if it wasn't for you."
Kiana raised an eyebrow. Lucky sat across from her at a table in the tavern, shoveling hot soup into his mouth so fast it dribbled down his chin. "What do you mean?" He cast a look about them, and she followed suit. The room was almost empty, but the only other people sat at any of the tables were Starbloods who didn't look their way once. A gaunt Red watched them from behind the bar, ready to react the moment they summoned him.
"The Starbloods are the soldiers, right? The ones that'll fight the Guardian one day. Plus, it's more dangerous for them to head out into the city. So they get the best of everything here. Normally I'd have to serve myself."
Frowning, Kiana stirred her own soup. She hadn't yet tried it.
"Then why bring in Reds at all?"
"We look after the place, look after them, and make runs to Celestia. The Huntress has picked up the best crooks of the bows. I've not been sent out yet, but the others come back with food or information. We're invaluable, but we're also less at risk. We don't need to be served in a tavern here, when we can just head above."
She supposed it made some sense, but it still felt uncomfortable.
"I thought you said nobody could leave without the Huntress."
Lucky shifted in his seat.
"Well, yeah, but I'm sure if I asked her directly, she'd let me go."
Pressing her lips together, Kiana watched him scrape the final remnants of soup from his bowl and smack his lips.
"Has anybody tried to leave? Changed their mind about being here?"
It was something she'd pondered since waking up. The Huntress's presence so near Celestia was clearly still a secret.
"Of course, she won't keep anybody here that doesn't want to be."
"But what if they tell somebody in Celestia? A Hound or the Guardian?"
He snorted. "Do you really think they'd dare?"
Kiana thought of how the Huntress had appeared through the mist, impossible and haunting. She'd gone back to the entrance of the warren, stared out into that grey thickness. It was the Windwalker's power that held the mist, concealing this place. It was impossible to comprehend how she maintained it, how it never slipped. She was incredibly powerful. And no, Kiana didn't think anybody would dare.
"Look," said Lucky, quickly, "you don't have to worry. I know it's a strange place and I could barely believe my eyes when I first saw her, but if you keep your head down, you'll be fine. And we won't be here forever. I'm sure she's just waiting for an opportunity to strike.
I wouldn't have believed anybody could topple the Guardian. But seeing what the Huntress can do? And all these Starbloods?
He let out a low whistle.
Right, Kiana said. An opportunity like the gala tomorrow. Kiana pushed her bowl of soup away.
Lucky, appetite fully intact, scooped up her remnants, then pushed his chair back.
I should probably do some work, or the others won't let me sleep tonight. Will you be okay?
She hesitated. A part of her wanted to tell Lucky everything. He was a thief from the bowels, clever and able. Two heads were better than one, and yet she couldn't bring herself to speak. Even if he liked the idea of the Huntress infiltrating the gala, she suspected he'd be a strong supporter of Kiana staying at the Warren, where she'd be safe. Besides, the Huntress hadn't even known his name. He wouldn't be able to summon her here, much less convince her to do something dangerous. To her surprise, Lucky's face split in a crooked grin.
I'm glad you're here, Kiana. After my mistake in Celestia. A shadow passed over his eyes, but he shook it away. Well, I can't wait for Tanis to join us.
He bounded off before she could respond. She watched him disappear from the room, watched the Starbloods bow their heads together and mutter. She wondered if any of them could contact the Huntress. Wondered if they'd agree to do so if she told them she wanted to save the witches. Maybe tonight, maybe as a last resort. For now, she hobbled towards the stairs that led to the upper level. Perhaps a quick bath in her pool would spark something in her. Surely there was a way to figure this out. All her life she'd been told no. No from father, when she'd begged to leave her room. No from Tanis, time and time again. No from her body, when she pushed it too hard. How could she get the Huntress's attention? Make her say yes. And if she couldn't find the Huntress, how could she get away from this dreary place? She pushed open the door to her room and pulled up short. The Huntress was waiting inside, standing behind a stool placed before the cracked mirror.
Sit, she said, pointing at it.
Kiana froze. This was what she'd wanted. Now she had it, and it was too soon. She wasn't ready. She hadn't thought of a plan. But she couldn't ignore a command. Not if she wanted the Huntress on side. Even if she didn't relish the thought of having this woman at her back. Tanis's mother she may be, but her sister had evidently not gotten her wild streak from Adrian Till. For the first time, it struck Kiana that her father had somehow charmed a witch into his bed. She shook herself, not needing to think about that right now. Forcing her feet to cross the cave, she sat and folded her hands in her lap. She wanted to ask about the Reds, about why they were treated so poorly here, and what the Huntress planned for the Warren. But Kiana was silent. She couldn't make any mistakes. She had to be careful. To her surprise, the Huntress loosened her hair from its messy braid and began running her fingers through its knots. The touch echoed comfort, drawing memories of days when Kiana's wrists or elbows were too sore to brush her own hair, and Nan would do it for her.
What are you... Kiana started, blinking back a rush of tears. The Bloodhound will be at the gala, and he knows you. Your hair is too vibrant. These berries, the Huntress nudged a pot at her feet, will darken it to black. We shall also apply some makeup to your eyes and your charming freckles, though that can wait till tomorrow.
Kiana's heart pounded. She wondered if she'd misheard.
I've a dress for you. It should fit well enough, and besides, it hardly matters. You have an invitation. They cannot turn you away.
An invitation? The Huntress scooped up some of the berries and began rubbing them into Kiana's scalp. She was surprisingly gentle,
but it was her words that made Kiana's skin warm and her chest loose. "Tomorrow you will be a Lady of Celestia. I will send others with you, each with their own forged invitation. You will dance at the Guardian's Gala, and before the night is over, perhaps you will save the witches as you dream. Luckily for you, the Bloodhound has been particularly distracted of late, and security has grown lax over the years. None can harm the Guardian, and none can release the witches. So why should any of them fear?" None. That explained why the Huntress hadn't simply flown up the tower and released the other witches herself. Yet Olinger believed Griffin and Tanis could do it. He had to have good reason.
"I must admit, I am curious to see what you believe you can do to change the way of this world."
Now was the moment when she'd demand answers, when she'd ask about Olinger and the others, about exactly what they'd planned. Kiana would tell her, because what other choice did she have? She had to get to the gala.
"I am also curious to know why you think I would care about the Windwalker."
Kiana's throat was very dry. Wasn't that obvious? "Because she's your child," she wanted to say. Instead, she whispered, "because the Guardian hunts her. If the Guardian thinks she's important, then you should want to keep them apart." The Huntress finished with Kiana's hair, and her blood pounded so hard she felt dizzy. She looked up at the silver mask reflected in the mirror, gleaming in the low light, wishing she'd remove it.
"I also think you care," she said, breathless. "Because you're here now. You're helping me."
"Could I not be helping you for another reason?"
"No,"
Kiana said, without hesitation.
"Why not?"
Their eyes were locked in the mirror, the cracks distorting the mask further.
"Because you don't know me? Because I'm a red? Because I'm disabled?"
Kiana said none of those things, and simply stared. The Huntress pulled a knife from her belt and turned it over in her stained hands. Kiana followed the blade close, sweat beading on her brow.
"I do not care that a body is weak when I see that a soul is desperate, hungry. You long for this, and I know why. You wish to prove yourself. You wish to show the world you can. Perhaps you wish to show the little Windwalker too. I see no reason to stop you. We share an enemy after all."
"And a goal," Kiana whispered. The Huntress flipped the knife and held the handle towards her.
"In case you need to defend yourself."
Hand trembling, Kiana took it. The Huntress pushed to her feet.
"Tomorrow night, chaos will descend upon the Guardian's ball. I had not planned for this, nor had I expected it, but I love surprises. And you are right. Perhaps I am interested in the one you say you'll provide. I only hope she is yours to give."
Kiana's chest tightened, but she was too focused on the knife in her hand, on the pain in her knees, and on the woman walking away from her to think too long about Tanis. The Huntress was sending an army of Starbloods into the Guardian's Gala to fight until the witches were released. She'd gotten what she'd wanted, for once in her life. But if she was going to need to defend herself? A broken body wouldn't be much good in the midst of chaos. And a witch stood before her.
"You could heal me,"
Kiana cried, recoiling the moment the words left her mouth. The Huntress laughed, though the sound seemed to come from all around them.
"You do not need to be healed."
Disappointment made her slump. Warmth burned behind her eyes. The hope had come so suddenly, she'd barely felt it.
"Your hair needs time to dry. If you must weep, make sure you do so sitting up."
And Kiana doubted herself, doubted this was the Windwalker, for why would she refuse if she could heal? Why would she mock if she could take the pain away? The Huntress's long fingers curled into fists. I am rooting for you, Kiana Till. I hope, truly, that you do hold the key to unlocking their chains. A sudden mist burst through the doorway, and when it cleared, the Huntress was gone. Tanis wasn't used to wearing dresses. When Olinger had first said she'd attend the gala as a lady, she'd thought little of it. She wouldn't be at the gala after all. Now, she wished she could enter as a servant with the others. During all the fussing, she hadn't been able to marvel. She'd been too irritated, too uncomfortable. Now she was alone, it was overwhelming. Not because she felt beautiful, but because the thought of doing the job wearing this was utterly terrifying. She stood at the window, fidgeting as she looked out towards the dark gleam of the moonstone. Celestia stretched before her, bathed in moonlight. It was so strange to be home, and yet further from her old life than ever. Her mind kept imagining how different this moment would have been if they hadn't gone to Alleybrook. She could have left Kiana safe at the estate, arrived in this room and simply flown away. Even now she yearned to do so. Ralph would be in the pit, scowling at his customers. Maybe Lucky was there too. What she would give to see their faces if she simply strode in. It would even be nice to see Nan. Instead, she had no choice but to play the role of Lady Celandine. No choice but to walk into the Bloodhound's waiting arms. It suits you. She started, glancing back to see Nemitra at the door. She had scrubbed up well. The green dress matched Olinger's eyes. The velvet top skirt shimmered over underskirts of black chiffon, and a high neck of black lace wrapped her throat from chest to chin so she could still wear her necklace. To finish, her hair was twisted up and adorned with emerald-encrusted pins. This was apparently high fashion in Somont. Nemitra came to stand beside her, the two of them staring at their reflections. The twin was dressed smartly, but simply, in polished black boots and a fine green tunic. Is that what you're all wearing? Nemitra nodded, but their expression was tight and Tanis's stomach flipped. Olinger had sent a servant to check in on her friends at her request. Have you heard anything? No, not yet. Shoulders sagging, she pressed a hand to her stomach. Better nothing than something worse. And yet, her eyes flew back to the window. The last time she'd seen Lucky, he'd been running downstairs to hold off the hounds, determined to make up for a stupid mistake. She'd been trying not to dwell on it, but now she was here, she could think of little else but him. Were Kiana not in danger? She'd do nothing until she knew he was safe. She squared her shoulders. Are we ready? With the faintest hesitation, Nemitra nodded. Then let's go. It was time to be Nightlinger again. To trick and to con while she stole back salvation. Whether salvation for the witches, or simply for her sister. Because Nightlinger was the Windwalker, and she could evade the Bloodhound one night more. At least until she had no choice but to give herself to him. The townhouse was as empty as the last time she was here. The only difference that Kiana wasn't waiting downstairs. She walked alongside Nemitra in silence, glancing across at the long-limbed person, finding them deep in thought. Are you nervous? She asked. No. And that was that. They started down the stairs, and Tanis focused on learning her outfit. The skirts weren't so restrictive, but the slippers pinched and prodded. She lived in boots. Her feet weren't made for slippers. If it came to it, she'd kick them off. At the bottom, they turned to the dining hall. She'd only spent a moment there the last time, before she'd climbed into one of Olinger's carriages and left the city. It had been for Kiana then, and it was now. It always would be. Nemitra grabbed Tanis's elbow, pulling her to a halt. "Why are we..." "Listen." Nemitra's dark eyes darted to the door. "As soon as we enter the palace, I'm going to see if I can find out where he's keeping Kiana. The moment I learn anything, I'll come to you, and you forget about us. Forget about the witches. Save her." Tanis gaped, but the doors were opening, and before she could absorb what Nemitra had said, the twin pulled away. Tanis's eyes followed them until they caught on Olinger. The fire roared at his back, casting him in orange light. His lips parted, and Nemitra's sudden anxiety was forgotten in the face of him. Dressed for the gala, he looked every bit a noble, and more beautiful than all the rest. Timiki stood at his shoulder, striking as ever, her eyes gleaming. "My lady," said Olinger. Tanis inclined her head. "My lord." Griffin's power flickered, and her jaw tightened as she glanced to the corner where he stood. He didn't look at her, but tense shoulders would have betrayed his awareness, even if his magic had not. Olinger didn't notice what passed between his lady and his loyal bleeder. He grinned, opening his arms wide. "Tonight, it ends."